The country's not creating enough jobs, and even having a college degree isn't helping much.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Labor Day. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Later this week, President Obama will give a major speech to Congress on his plans to kickstart employment. Just about everybody who's fortunate enough to have a job has been losing ground on wages lately, and it turns out new college graduates are no exception. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports higher education isn't paying dividends as big as it used to.
Lately, the procession of college graduates has had to join the parade of unemployed already looking for work. And according to research by the Economic Policy Institute, that means all their hard studying isn't paying off as much.
Employers know that they don't have to pay big wage and benefit packages when there's a queue of desperate new entrants to the labor market around the block.
Economist Heidi Shearholt says even as college costs have soared, the average starting wage for graduates dropped by roughly a dollar an hour over the past decade to around $21.75 for men, $18.50 for women. There's still a wage premium for those who get their degree, but she says it's no longer growing.
College-educated workers do indeed make a lot more money, both to start out with and over their lifetimes, but the payoff is stagnating.
She says there isn't much hope that'll change, not with the jobless rate expected to stay above 8% well into 2014.
With unemployment that high for that long, there's just going to be nothing that's going to lift these wages up anytime soon.
If it's any consolation, Shearholt says that degree is still likely to improve your chance of at least finding a job. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And all this week, Marketplace will feature special coverage on jobs, the nation's high unemployment, and what can be done to fix it. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much lower at the moment. In Europe, markets are down anywhere from 2 to 4%. Wall Street's closed for the Labor Day holiday. Maybe it needs a rest after plunging 253 points on Friday to close. The Dow did, closed at 11,240. I suspect many a holiday reveler will tip back a beer or two today at the backyard barbecue. And for brewers, capturing a large market share is big business. For the new owners of Pabst Blue Ribbon, PBR as we know it, moving its headquarters from suburban Chicago to Los Angeles fits in with the company's marketing strategy. And convenience, Adam Popescu reports.
Privately held Pabst was bought last year by Dean Metropoulos. He's made a career and a fortune reviving older brands like Bumblebee Tuna and Chef Boyardee. His two sons, now Pabst co-owners, and new CEO John Cochran, all lived in L.A. at the time of the purchase.
So we sat down and talked about it and decided that both for us personally as well as for the business, Los Angeles would be a better place.
L.A., of course, means celebrities. And one strategy for boosting sales is star-powered endorsements. In April, Pabst signed rapper Snoop Dogg as the pitchman for a new malt liquor by Colt 45. Beverage analyst Tim McPeak says too many celebrity endorsements risk alienating core consumers, like the hipsters who've adopted the company's iconic Pabst Blue Ribbon brand.
My concern would be that trying to raise the profile might actually have some unintended consequences and backfire against who their core market already currently is.
However the strategy plays out, the move makes sense in terms of potential customers. Los Angeles ranks second in the number of beer drinkers nationwide. In Los Angeles, I'm Adam Popescu for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Makers of consumer products spend nearly $30 billion a year to figure out what sells, what doesn't, and why. And these days, some are using technology first developed for British fighter pilots called eye tracking. We sent reporter Christopher Worth to have a look.
First, I want to find out what eye tracking is. So I've come to this supermarket in West London to meet Ian James from a company called iTracker. It's one of a growing number of agencies studying what consumers actually look at when they see ads or packaging on store shelves. James hands me a pair of glasses straight out of a sci-fi movie.
If you can pop those on.
Mounted on top are two small cameras.
One is a field of vision camera, which collects everything that's in front of you.
And the other camera is pointed at my pupil and follows it wherever I look. When that's laid over the video of what I actually see, you get a set of crosshairs tracking every detail I focus on in the store.
And if you go off and do your shopping come back and we'll have a look at the tape.
Okay. Sorry to bother you. Could you point me to the laundry detergent aisle? The clerk leads me to a long row with at least a dozen brands to choose from. Liquid detergent, powdered detergent. But my eyes quickly settle on a big blue box with a red logo and an image of a father and son playing in the grass. A detergent called Persil. And it costs £6.40. I bring the glasses back to Jane's and we look at the tape of my purchase.
Okay, so you're now going to the detergent aisle. You're trying to decide which one to go for.
I like to think of myself as a price-conscious shopper, but when we watch the tape, I realize I hardly look at price tags at all.
The amount of time people actually spend looking at price is very, very small.
Jane says my little test shows why eye tracking is so useful. Instead of relying on what people in focus groups say they look at, marketers can see for themselves what packaging catches a shopper's eye. And eye tracking can also help marketers figure out why we connect with certain products.
Generally, we shop in a subconscious mode.
I played my video for Nick Widdowson, who works with eye tracking at Unilever. It's the company that makes that box of Persil laundry detergent. Remember that picture of the father and son on the front? Widdowson notices I can't take my eyes off it.
From the amount of time you were looking at it, suggests that image seems to have struck a chord with you as a shopper.
And when I think about it, he's probably right. I am getting married soon, and my fiancé and I are thinking about starting a family. Who knew shopping could be so revealing? In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, college football kickoff weekend continues, and I'm pretty sure most of the players today will be 18 to 22 years old. But at Faulkner University in Alabama, the median team age is a little higher. It's because Alan Moore, a junior, is 61 years old. He left college back in 68 to fight in Vietnam, just recently re-enrolled, and now he's suiting up as place kicker. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When is zero less than zero? Why, when you talk to an economist, of course.
Just to keep up with population growth, you need about 125,000 net new jobs every month.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs, a hot topic, the cold reality, maybe even freezing. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.